It's my pleasure and privilege to introduce our speaker tonight, which is Brother Cliff Goodwin.
For now, however, I want to invite you to take your Bibles with me and to open them to 1 Kings chapter 17. Our lesson tonight is actually going to come from chapter 18, but as we prepare to get there, we need to notice verse 1 of chapter 17. 1 Kings 17, 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." No telling how many times, perhaps in your own personal Bible study, and if not in that, perhaps in class settings, in the local congregation, no telling how many times we have probably read that statement. This is the first mention that I know of regarding Elijah the prophet in the Bible, and he comes, as it were, out of nowhere. In the wickedness of Ahab's time and Ahab's reign, God had a man for the occasion. God's providence, in fact, always seems to have the right man in the right place at the right time for the right occasion. And that certainly describes Elijah the prophet. But maybe something we haven't noticed in all of these times that we've read 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, perhaps it is this. In that statement that Elijah the prophet made there, he effectively declared war on the false god Baal and on all those worshipers loyal to him. You say he declared war? Absolutely. See, you've got to understand about Baal, the false god, that he was supposedly the storm god. He was supposedly the one who sent the rain during the wet season, and even supposedly the one who provided the dew during the dry season there in the climate of Palestine. And so when Elijah comes on the scene and says, "Look, it's not going to dew, it's not going to rain, it's not going to do any of that these years." Notice he said this is going to be a matter of years. It's neither going to dew nor rain until I say it's going to dew or rain, as the representative of Jehovah, of course. When he said that, he effectively declared war on this false god Baal, whom Ahab and Jezebel have been running after. Whom Ahab and Jezebel have basically been luring their nation, their kingdom, to run after and to follow and to worship. And so what we have is a declaration of war. And guess what? For the next three and a half years, God wins. For the next three or so years, God wins. It neither rains nor dews in the mornings, and Baal is shown to be powerless. Baal is shown to be a fraud, which is exactly what all idols are. However, this war that is declared in chapter 17 and verse 1, it comes to its climax now in the next chapter. So I want you to turn over with me now to 1 Kings chapter 18 as we consider together simply the contest on Carmel. Mount Carmel, you will remember. The contest on Carmel. Begin reading with me at chapter 18 and verse 19. Now, Elijah has appeared before King Ahab after a long time in hiding, you might say. And now Elijah says this, "Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel. The 450 prophets of Baal, bring them, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, bring them, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, How long will you falter? How long will you halt? Or how long will you limp back and forth between two opinions? If Yahweh, the Lord, is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. They're noncommittal. They're listening, but they're not sure where this is going, so they don't answer a word. Verse 22, then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of Yahweh, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods. Notice the plurality. Baal made no claim, or his followers made no claim of being exclusive, being the one and only God. Baal was recognized as just one among an entire array of so-called gods. So Elijah says, you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of Yahweh, the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, He is God. Now, when Elijah lays it all out and explains it to the people, they speak up. Verse 24 concludes, so all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. You know what, Elijah? You've got a deal. You know what, Elijah? That's a good idea. We're going to settle this for once and for all right here today on Mount Carmel. The God who responds by fire, miraculously consuming the respective sacrifice, will all admit, will all confess, He is God. And so the contest is on now on Mount Carmel. Just a few observations very quickly. As we began this reading in verse 19, I want us to realize that it was not only time for Baal's false prophets, all 450 of them to be exact, it's not only time for them to be judged and to be punished as they were supposed to be under the law of Moses, as we read, I think, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, but it's also high time for Israel to make a decision. That's why the prophet pointed out to them there in verse 21, how long are you going to limp back and forth between two opinions? You know, you want to serve Yahweh a little bit. You don't want to completely forget about Yahweh, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. But at the same time, you're enamored with this Baal and the Asherah and all these false gods that go along with him. How long are you going to keep this up? It was high time for Israel to make a decision. Now, sometimes in this context, you'll read 3 years. And yet over in the New Testament, James 5, 17 and 18, James tells us that the drought actually lasted 3.5 years. Let me explain to you why that's probably stated the way that it is. There was a natural dry period consisting of about 6 years that went from the spring into the fall. And so you would naturally have 6 months anyway of the dry season, and then perhaps the famine proper or the famine itself picked up at the end of that natural period and then lasted another 3 years for a total of what? Exactly what James tells us in James 5, 17 and 18, 3.5 years. So for that amount of time, Baal, the so-called storm god, is shown to be powerless, useless, a fraud, if you will. Folks, we need to realize that truth is exclusive. Now, perhaps more than ever in our modern world, we need to appreciate the fact that truth is exclusive, truth is absolute, and there's no such thing as this foolishness that you can have your truth, he can have his truth, she can have her truth, I can have my truth, and even though they all differ, perhaps even contradicting one another, Well, they're all truth and we're all right. Friends, there's a Greek word for that, and that Greek word is hogwash. That's hogwash. Truth is exclusive. There's only one truth. Jesus said Himself in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth. I am the life, not a life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Elijah realized that truth was exclusive. And that's why in verse 24 we read that he got the people to agree, hey, whichever God responds by fire miraculously now, we're all going to serve that God. He needs to be acknowledged as God. And the people agreed. See, when you get right down to it, there's always only been one way. That's not just a New Testament teaching with Jesus there in John 14, 6. When you get right down to it, there's always only been one God. And His way or no way at all. All right, something else now. From this reading we've just noticed together, verses 19 through 24, I want you to consider with me three advantages that Elijah willingly gave to the prophets of Baal. Now, I have advantages here in quotes because when you're going up against the true God of heaven, there are no advantages. Okay? None whatsoever. You're on the losing end of that arrangement. But these might have been perceived as advantages to the prophets of Baal. Number one, have you ever heard about home field advantage? Well, consider the location of this contest. It's on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is located in northern Israel, not very far at all from the land of Phoenicia. Baal supposedly was the patron god of Phoenicia. And so the location or the proximity of this site to a foreign land might have been viewed as advantageous to the prophets of Baal. Number two, notice that the Baalim prophets were going to choose their victim, sacrificial victim, and go first. Friends, I don't know how many years I preached or considered this text without realizing what a huge, quote, advantage that might be viewed as to the prophets of Baal. Have you ever heard of sudden death playoffs? Typically, unless it's changed, and I don't think it has, in the National Football League, if a game goes into overtime, then sudden death means that the team that scores first, it's over. Okay, now for years, they might have modified it recently. I'm not keeping up with the NFL much these days. But for years, even if it were a field goal, whichever team scored first, it was over. Sudden death overtime. Well, what do you think would have happened? The prophets of Baal go first. Now, it was not going to, but what would have happened if the prophets of Baal had gone first and immediately fire came down out of heaven and consumed their sacrifice? Do you think Elijah would have ever been given a fair hearing? No. They would have taken Elijah out right then and there and killed him, and that would have been the end of the day. And so this, in their eyes, would have been a big advantage. Elijah's more than happy to give that because Elijah knows whose side he's on. And then we have the mere numbers of it. He's not outnumbered 10 to 1 or 100 to 1. Elijah is outnumbered by the prophets of Baal 450 to 1. Think how intimidating that could have been to so many people. And yet God has the right man in the right place, at the right time, for the right occasion. God has a man for this season, and Elijah stands up. And so even with all of these perceived advantages given to Baal's prophets, no, it's not going to matter. Now, read it with me. Let's pick up at verse 25, and let's continue reading what happens. Now, Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first. For you are many, he points out that discrepancy in their number, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it now. Don't you be cheating.